brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, everybody. Today it's the Kenny and Darsha show because, as usual,
minutes
being the spring butt student, I'm always early to the show. Did you hear that, Kevin? I'm always early. Darsha's still wiping
true.
The sweat off her brow and trying
I
to catch her breath.
Kevin on the way in.
So I'm going to do the intro.
I was here at 12:15.
You were not.
I was here.
This is like the difference between male and female time. Hey, a lot going on. I hope people heard on the radio that Virginia got smacked down by its own state Supreme Court, which is really going to, if you're a Democrat, it's probably not a happy day for you. But
aren't they protecting democracy? Personally,
vice the Republic.
I say it.
See, I said it so you didn't have to.
Yeah. Restore the Republic.
But I wanted to get into, from my part today, probably going to have to go over the slides for the bond measure. Probably a good time at this point to say, call in, give us your opinions, or text. There's 60 slides for Tuesday night. And for those that were involved in Measure M, slide number... Oh, they don't have them numbered, but my favorite slide is Measure M : PRJUSD delivered ! So we'll go into that. I've got a lot of details on that. Want to talk about the Louisiana versus Calais decision here in California. There was a really good article out of the California Globe. If you noticed, I have become a big fan of the California Globe, but there was an article in there that talked about the impacts in the state of California. But I also want to talk about the impacts here locally in Paso and in the school district.
So the important part about that decision is not just that it's a Supreme Court decision that takes effect immediately. The important part that I see is that it's declaring that if you have districts that are based on, and districts of all kinds, you know, congressional, et cetera, but districts that are based on racial
preference.
Good. I wasn't going to say profiling, but if it is a race-based district where you have minority-majority, and that's the reason why the lines were drawn based on race, that is, as the Supreme Court has issued their opinion, unconstitutional. So when you have that, then the question becomes, if that decision declares that those districts in that election are unconstitutional, what happens to the election?
They're not going to undo any of that. It's going to be grandfathered in.
So what did Prop 50 do? Redistricted the state of California, November 2025.
Yeah, but the problem with that is it got turned down by the Supreme Court. So we're stuck. We're stuck behind the Iron Curtain. We got to make do with what we've got, keep fighting the good fight.
My understanding is there are 6 districts in California that are based on race.
Okay, then they'll have to bring new... new lawsuits over that. That's how the system works. When you look nationwide, there was a really good article by Victor Davis Hanson, our neighbor to the east over there in Hanford. But he came out in the Daily Signal, and he is, I won't say, writing the obituary for the Democrat Party, but he's basically pointing out, and this was before the Virginia decision came out today, that, the Democrats are in, they're in deep kimchi, that, the numbers that people are forecasting for this 2026 congressional election, that they could lose up to 12 seats, which would put the Republicans in the majority. But by 2030, if you take into consideration the impacts of Louisiana versus Calais, plus redistricting from the census and all that, and the demographic shift out of blue states to red states, there are forecasts that the Democrats could lose up to 60 seats by between now and the 2028 and 2030 elections. And, pretty much you'll wind up, in his opinion, and I'm not sure I think it's a good thing, but at least depending on how long it lasts, but he said you're going to wind up with basically a one-party system for a period of time.
Well, and, it might be a good time to bring up that the whole, one of the premises of new California state movement was that there's not representation
because we're a
one-party state. But what that would mean is about 25 to 30 conservative congressional seats from new California. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things out there. And there's, and this,
it's probably a good time to talk about the UFO files that have been released too.
I missed that this morning. Listening to the sheriff's.
Are there lizard people that are going to run for office?
I did not go there. What shirt am I wearing today?
Your conspiracy shirt.
Thank you.
So the lizard people are running.
I did listen to the Sheriff Parkinson's press conference this morning concerning the search warrants and the soil testing and things that they are doing at the home of Susan Flores, mother to Paul Flores, who was convicted of Kristen Smart's murder. But they are looking for her. They want closure. They are looking for her body or remains or something that will allow this the parents to have closure here.
Right. All right. Well, what do you want to kick off with?
Okay, well, if you have information there from Victor Davis Hanson, I like Victor, so let's...
Well, what he starts getting into, and we've covered this off and on, I won't get into it too deeply right now, but when you look at all the maps that are being enacted right now around the country, obviously California Prop 50 passed, federal courts refused to take it up, so we're stuck with it. That doesn't mean people could take it up again. And
I still have a question mark there, but to be determined.
All right. Well, I think you're going to have a question mark at least until 2028. But right now, you had asked me, Darsha, what districts were affected. And so it's California 1, Doug Ramalfa.
Who has since passed away.
Yeah, his district. And then Kevin Kiley. He's going to run as an independent, which frankly I think is smart. That's California 3. Then David Valdeo, California 22.
Central Valley.
He's Central Valley. He's kind of a squish anyway. So I honestly, if he was one of the ones that voted to impeach Trump. Then Ken Calvert, California 41, Daryl Issa, California 48.
That's San Diego.
And so those are the ones that are most likely going to lose, and or they're projecting are going to lose. But again, I think Kevin Kiley running as an independent, that increases his odds, because I think the vast majority of the ill-informed and uninformed California populace just looks down the list, and if it's an R, they're immediately, their Pavlovian response is R bad, vote D or something else. So I think if you put an I behind your name, then you probably have a better chance of getting in there. I got my ballot.
I haven't received mine yet. Well, it's probably sitting in the post office.
We're supposed to go to the Australia War Burns Museum this year.
Okay.
They keep moving us back and forth between there and the San Miguel Community Center. So
I like the warbirds.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm still amazed. I didn't realize how many people were running for governor. But there are a lot.
If I can insert here, it is an 8.5, so regular size top portion of the ballot, and 21 inches down and front and back. So when you say there's a lot of people running for governor, it takes up about half of the first page just for the selection for the governor.
So
pay attention to that ballot, by the way. The very top is your precinct location, your polling place on election day. That is the only time that you can go to that location and have it be open is on election day. Constitutionally, by the way.
Okay. We'll probably hear this every show between now and June on.
I consider it as
And we're supposed to mail them in, right? That's what you want?
Oh, my goodness, Kenny.
I'm sorry. I just like seeing you react once in a while. Okay. Do you want to get back to the impacts?
The most secure way you can vote in our elections in the state of how it is right now in our county, we are not a vote center county, which means we have precincts, we have polling places on election day that you can go to and vote in person with a precinct ballot. That is the most secure way those ballots are counted that night. Now they have a new option this year that you can, for their North County people, and I'll just cover North County, but Atascadero Library upstairs is the North County Elections Office, and you can bring that vote-by-mail ballot, just the ballot, you don't need the envelope, just the ballot, to the Atascadero Library upstairs, sign a form that has your name, address, and your signature. They, I believe, will be signature matching, and you can put your vote-by-mail ballot right into the ballot box, and they will come by and pick it up and count it as soon as they get around to it. And welcome to Open Mic Friday. You're on the air.
Hi, Darcia. I'm curious. When you were watching the polls in the last election, what did you see that you thought was an irregularity?
When I was watching on election day, well, there were some ballot boxes that did not have a secure lock for all of the openings. There were people who, I thought that the way that they placed the vote-by-mail envelope drop-off right outside of the precinct doors saying, hey, it's super easy, just drop off your vote-by-mail ballot. Those vote-by-mail ballots, they're being told that they're counted election night. They are not counted election night. It takes 7 to 10 days to process, meaning signature match, open, lay flat, and then count those vote-by-mail ballots. So if you want a timely counted ballot on election day, go inside for the precinct ballot. The other thing had to do with the actual precincts themselves, that some people for the November 2024 election, precincts were moved all around, and some people who were in Creston and some people who were their precinct was moved to Southern Atascadero, so they literally had to drive past their voting precinct of 50 years to get to the new precinct to vote in person. I believe that was intentional. Then people who were in Southern Paso Robles had to drive all the way to San Miguel, past 5 or 6 other precinct locations to be able to vote in person in San Miguel. We were moved probably 8 miles to a new precinct. So there were many, and then the Shandon precinct got shut down halfway through November 2024 election day. And then Creston precinct, the lights went out at 6:30 at night. So people were literally voting by flashlight. So those are some of the big things. Anything else you can think of?
Well, what about the rumor that there was a truckload of ballots brought in at the last minute?
All right. Well, that for sure was Orange County. And was Orange County, and there was supposedly a bomb threat email that was sent out to 5 or 6 different county clerk offices. And Orange County had received that, so they sent all the observers away, but they continued to count ballots. And then the security cameras were turned off, but the garage surveillance camera showed 2 white unmarked trucks, not the bomb squad is what I'm getting at, 2 white unmarked trucks offloading boxes. And the next day, there were a lot more ballots to count than what they had thought were there.
How did you view when Dr. Jones was way ahead until the last minute, and then Bruce Gibson came in with a whole bunch of ballots? How did that happen?
That was November of 2022, and we were given information the day before Thanksgiving holiday. So it was on the Wednesday before the Thanksgiving holiday. They'd been counting for 2 weeks, and Bruce Jones came with, this is for District Supervisor District 2, and Bruce Jones came within 33 votes of Bruce Gibson. And all I know is the demeanor of the entire elections office changed, and we were asked to leave as observers. We were asked to leave, and that we weren't to, nothing more observable was going to happen that day, even though they were entering some of the provisional ballots. And then we found out that there were about 332 additional provisional ballots that hadn't been on the to be counted list, that all of a sudden there's 332 more. So we asked the question on Monday as we returned, where did these additional ballots come from? We were told 4 different stories from 3 different people. So that's why we, and then there was no counting for 2 weeks after that. And that's one of the reasons why we did the second recount for Bruce Gibson's District 2. And he ended up, what they said, it was that he won by 13 votes. So we refer to him now as BG13.
Okay.
But that's what started the recount. And that's what, when the county clerk recorder said that we, the recount requester, or me, the recount requester, even though we'd already paid about $49,000 to do the recount, we halted the recount. And she said, oh, you owe us another $4,500. And I said, no, we still don't have a receipt that even agrees to the amounts that we've paid previously. Could I have a receipt so I can know what you think we should be paying? And she said, no, you owe it, and I'll take you to court. So there we went.
And she did, and eventually lost. But during that trial, it came out that she charged $5,000 for overtime for salaried employees, and the judge found that was illegal, correct?
That is correct. The judge affirmed for me that the county clerk recorder, in fact, did overcharge for the salary workers that were charging more than 8 hours to the recount for any one day.
Now,
and so,
as I understand, a lot of those weren't even located here. They were up at some kind of training session in San Jose.
Well, now, you know quite a bit about this case, don't you? I think you came 3 days to the appeal trial, so I appreciate
it. That's why I told Kevin, I do not think, when listening to, when she was being qualified by county counsel, I got the impression she is not fully qualified to do the job. And I keep that opinion to this day.
All right. Well, I thank you for that, and I thank you for the opportunity to go through that. I might have a little bit of PTSD.
I have one quick question of Kenny. Kenny, Is there any more discussion about transsexuals going on at the school board?
No, but I'm going to bring it back up, and I'm praying hard that the Supreme Court makes the right decision here. So I'll get into that after the break.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Back in a minute.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Hi, my name is Austin Streamlin. At Slow Heating and Air, our passion for delivering exceptional quality and service never wavers. We're a family business serving our neighbors with honest service you can trust. We can help you fix, maintain, and install new heating and air conditioning systems.
And if another company says something big's broken,
call us for a second opinion.
805-423-5119. That's 805-423-5119. San Luis Obispo Heating and Air Conditioning, Inc. Keeping you in the comfort zone.
All right, we're back. And we got a text. And that text asks a very interesting question. Did the city of Paso Robles break up their city council into districts so that different ethnicities were represented? Very good question. Same question applies to the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. So I'd mentioned, my favorite California paper outside of Cal Coast News, of course. But California Globe and Katie Grimes, she did a piece on May 6th that started talking about some of the impacts and how now that the Supreme Court has ruled that you cannot establish districts based off of race or ethnicity, that potentially the California Voting Rights Act from 2001 is in conflict with the new interpretation of the Federal Voting Rights Act. And so that being said, I went and I did some research on initially the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District, because we went to these areas in this last election in 2024, and the decision stemmed from a threat of a lawsuit from attorney Kevin Schenkman, who threatened legal action under the California Voter Rights Act unless it transitioned to by area elections. The same gentleman,
and he was all up and down the.
He was all up and down
state.
The coast. The same. He was the same attorney that basically threatened Paso Robles with a similar lawsuit. And so, I pulled up what articles that I could find. But the bottom line was both the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District and the City Council wanted to avoid lawsuits, so they agreed to break up into districts. Now, the question is, are those now going to be challenged because they didn't have to do that? Are they going to be allowed? I think those are some questions. I personally don't like the districts for this, or the areas for the school district, because I think we're going to find they're too small. People just, they're not enough parents and citizens that are going to want to step up and be on the board. I've had this conversation with some of the Latinos who supported breaking up in the area, and one of the areas that they really wanted was Area 2, which is Joel Peterson's area. And how did Joel Peterson become a board member this last time? He showed up at 4:55 at the clerk's office and signed the paperwork, and that was it, because there was no interest in that geographic area. And my argument to the Latino community or any minority community is that if you're going to say that, you know, we're going to carve out this little area so we are guaranteed representation, you're not guaranteed representation. You're better off having the whole large area and having a strong candidate, of which there are plenty, that is willing to go and speak to your special interests. But I think this is going to be interesting going forward. I'm not sure. I think it's either Atascadero or Templeton that didn't break up into areas.
I think it's Atascadero.
Is it Atascadero?
They're still at large. And in theory,
there are a couple of districts in the county that are still at large. And I'm afraid really looking at it strictly from the school district point of view, that it's just the areas are too small. And I think we're going to wind up, just having people show up. Or we're going to have problems like San Miguel has, where nobody shows up, or Shandon, where nobody shows up. It's better to look at an at-large general population, because you have more people that can participate.
So that I could see from the, and I was going to say, in theory, you could have a board of trustees made up of 7 or 5 or however many you might have on a board, all represented from the same block, you know, where all these people together then get elected to a school board or the city council or whatever it might be, so that the rest of the areas don't have representation. So I get that, but it really is important for people who are wanting to become more involved and are concerned about whether it's the school board or the city council races. Keep in mind, those are all on the November ballot. There are no school board races, no city council races on this June 2nd primary election. So right now we're identifying candidates. So please, if you are interested, come forward, talk to whether it's Republican Party or talk to people that are currently on the board that you align with, because we really need some good candidates to come forward, and you'll have support and you'll have, you know, but there's a lot of concerns we have, and $205 million school bond.
$220 million.
I heard it couldn't exceed $205.
I'll get into
it. And I didn't go through the 60 slides. So
yeah, the 60 slides are, oh my Lord. And here's, I'd been asking the question, how much is it going to cost the taxpayers? I had been saying $100,000. It's $120,000. So that's, you know, that's a teacher or two right there for something that I'm still not convinced is going to make it across the finish line. So again, my recommendation, and I'll go through some of the slides in detail after the break, but my recommendation is the school district needs to commit to raising its academic performance over the next 2 years, and show the community that, you know, we are up to the task, and we need, you know, we've gotten to this level without any extra support, but if you want to get to the next level, we need your support. All right, back in a few minutes.
AM AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.